Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, good morning. Hey, look, before we go any further, can we please just applaud the Mayfields? Man, thank y'all for y'all's leadership this week. Hey, we love y'all on behalf of East Haven. Thank you for everything that you do for us and for our kids. And as you've seen, man, I hope that y'all were paying attention this morning because during our response time, we're going to have a quiz of all these motions. And so I hope you were paying attention because it's your turn next. Look, I'm just kidding. Hey, for real, super, super excited about this morning. As we've seen, man, we had an amazing week with your kids. And so thank you for allowing us to, just share the gospel with them this week. Just so that you know, these are a few things that we have talked about this week. We've covered how God is a friend that is real. How God is a friend that loves. How God is a friend that is trustworthy. How God is a friend that is forever, and how God is a friend to everyone. Those are the topics that we have covered this week. And so as I was preparing for this message, obviously, we were going to talk about how God is a friend. And so I was talking to some of my buddies the other night, and we were talking about the concept of God as a friend. And I don't know your feelings on it, but this is how the conversation went. Hey, man, what you preaching on in a couple of weeks? Hey, I'm preaching on God as a friend. What are your thoughts on that? Help me, like, write this message. And they told me, one of my buddies was like, man, I love that concept, love that conversation. I think this is awesome. Love the direction that you're going. And then one of my other buddies was like, man, can I just be honest with you? And I said, yeah. He said, I don't like that concept. And I said, okay, why? Like, what's the problem with God as a friend? He said, man, just being honest, like, it sounds very childish. It sounds very, like, rainbow and butterflies and, like, everything is okay. And that might be how you pictured this morning going. But we're going to find out real quick that God is not a friend that at all times it's perfect. And so that's where we are going this morning. And before we even get going, I want to ask you, what are some things that you look for in a friend? Because the conversation led on and we started asking this guy, we said, hey, not to attack you, but to challenge you. Man, what are some things that you look for in a friend? And he's like, well, I look for honesty, look for trustworthiness, look for this, 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 and this. And we said, is God that? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess he is. And so this morning, my question is, what are some things that you think of when you think of a friend? And is God your friend? Today, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings 19, but I think that it's really important for us to understand the backstory from 1 Kings 18. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings 19. But I'm just going to kind of tell you what happens in 1 Kings 18, because that's where our first message came out of. And so I'm going to give you a little backstory so that you understand where we're at in 1 Kings 19 this morning. So a little backstory, 1 Kings 18, Elijah is going against the prophets of Baal, right? Baal is a false god. It's an idol in this time. And so Elijah is in a position where the prophets of Baal are like, your God's not real, our God is. And Elijah, he says, prove it. All right, let's have a showdown. I'll tell you what, y'all meet me on Mount Carmel, or Carmel, however you say it, don't judge. Y'all meet me there, and I'll tell you what, you build an altar to your God, and I'm going to build an altar to my God, and we're going to see what God actually shows up. So they go, they build this altar, and Elijah, being the gentleman that he is, he obviously says, go ahead, y'all call on Baal and see if he shows up, right? So they sit there and they're calling for hours and hours and nothing's happening. And so Elijah, I'd probably do this too. Elijah starts taunting them. Hey, maybe you need to shout a little bit louder. Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe your God is doing this, 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 and this, and maybe he's too busy for you. Maybe you need to just like give it a break, or maybe you need to go a little bit longer. And so he keeps taunting them and saying, I'm going to give you your chance. I'm going to give you your chance. And finally they go, well, our God's not responding right now. He's busy. So why don't you go ahead and do it? Elijah says, all right, but before I do it, we're going to soak this altar with water because I want you to leave with no doubt that my God is real. Because, right, we all know that wet wood doesn't burn. And so they drench this thing in water, and Elijah prays, and the Lord comes down in fire, burns everything up. And it's so evident that God is real in this moment. And so the prophets of Baal, a war breaks out, they get killed, and there's a queen that's in this time period named Jezebel. And Jezebel gets upset at Elijah because he has proved that God's real and some of her prophets are dead, and it's a bad situation. So Jezebel sends a letter to Elijah saying, if you're not dead by in the morning, I'm going to make sure that you're dead. So there's a threat, and that's what we're going to pick up this morning. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Kings 19, verse 3 is where we're going to start. Hold on just a second. All right, it says, Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. But all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. So he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord again came to him and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up, he ate, he drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and he spent the night, and the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they have rejected my covenant, torn down your altars, and put prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand by the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. A great and powerful wind tore through the mountains, tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after a wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out. He stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so in this passage and in the passages that we studied throughout the week, we see three main things. And that's where our points are today. Number one, God is a friend who will meet you in your mess. Verse 3 through 5, Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. I think it's so important for us to understand the background, to understand this morning that Jezebel's threat to Elijah was so real in this moment. Like, he just went from witnessing God come down in a pillar of fire and prove his existence to now he is running for his life because he's got a little bit of doubt that God can't protect him from Jezebel. Like, talk about one extreme to another. Went from my God is real to God, do you even see me right now? Like, I'm in a mess and it's like you're not even there. And so Elijah went from proving God's power to proving that he's like, man, can you really work in my life? Can you work in my life, God? And if we're being honest today, I think a lot of us are in that same boat, right? Elijah came to the end of his rope and he was like, God, I'm ready to die whenever you are, which I think is interesting because if you know the story of Elijah, Elijah's plan was to lay down and die, but God's plan was for him never to die. He was taken up to heaven in a chariot. And so we have different plans in God. And in this, he's saying, God, just take my life. And God's saying, man, I don't want you to die. Like, I have so much more for you. And if you're in that boat this morning, this might be a last-ditch effort, you coming to church this morning to see if there's somebody that cares, or to see if there is somebody that, or some way that the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And if you, and if that's you this morning, you're in a mess and you're at the end of your rope, man, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you chose to worship with us this morning. But here's the reality. You might not be in a mess where you're contemplating your life. You may be in another mess. You may be in a mess mentally where you've got some stuff going on and you don't really know what it is and you need help and you need to talk to somebody. We'll have people down front later to talk with you. You might be in a mess where, man, you're addicted to substances, whether that's drugs or alcohol or pornography, that you're like, God, I'm struggling with this. Do you even know that I'm struggling with this? Like, where are you? You might be in a mess relationally where, man, you don't know what your future looks like. You don't know if you're supposed to be in a relationship that you're in right now. You don't know what this looks like moving forward. And this is something you're so passionate about. You're like, God, why are you not answering me? Where are you? We can find ourselves right where Elijah is, in a desperate place. So my question for you this morning is, what is your mess? What are you wrestling with this morning? What is going on in your life that maybe nobody else knows about? Or maybe you keep hidden because you don't want anybody else to know about, because you're trapped thinking, man, I'm the only one that's facing this. I've been listening to this podcast recently, and it's called Undaunted Life. And there's a guy that leads it. His name's Kyle Thompson. And he has this concept of a 3 a.m. friend. You may have heard it, you may not have, but I think it's super important for us to see the connection here, because, man, you're in a mess. You try and hide it. You don't want to allow people in. That's the trap the enemy wants you to be in, right? But if you have somebody that you can call at 3 a.m., man, the whole concept of a 3 a.m. friend is, I'm calling you. Hey, I'm in trouble. I need help. And while you're on the phone, you hear them getting ready. They're getting their boots on. They're buckling their belt. They're coming to your aid because they know, man, if you're calling me at 3 a.m., you're not okay, and I'm your brother or I'm your sister, and I'm going to be there for you. Do you have a 3 a.m. friend that you can call if you're in need? Do you have somebody that knows what's going on in your life? If you don't, man, I pray you do. I pray you find somebody. I pray the Lord put somebody on your heart. Thank God that I have three or four of these men in my life. And I tell you, it has been awesome to see what the Lord has done in and through these relationships over the last couple of years. It's real. Man, it is okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to not ask for help. It's not okay to fight these things on your own. You need people around you. You need God, right? And I know for me, sometimes when I'm in a mess, I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I get tired of hearing people tell me all the time, well, just pray about it. Well, that's cool, but like, I need somebody that I can talk to that can like be face to face with me. And you might be in that same boat, and that's what I encourage you with this morning, with the concept of a 3 a.m. friend. So who is in your mess with you? Who knows the deepest, darkest things about your life? This week we looked at Jonah, and Jonah was encountered by God in the belly of a whale. We looked at Jesus' disciples caught in the midst of a storm, and Jesus was asleep in the boat. And they had to go wake him up, and Jesus got up and spoke to the storm and said, "Be still." We see that Jesus took on our mess when he went to the cross and died for our sins. And today, Jesus wants to take your mess and share his message through that. Your story has power. Point number two that we see, God is a friend that you can rest in. We see this in 5-9. It says, "Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, he ate, he drank, and strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into the cave and he spent the night. We see here that Elijah laid down totally ready to die and not wake up. And God said, "I got a different plan for you, bro. Here's some food. I know you're tired. Hey, here's some nutrients for you so that you can do what I am calling you to do." God knows the importance of rest and of eating to prepare for the journey. So sometimes the best thing that you can do, the holiest thing you can do, is take a nap. I'm just saying, if y'all pass my office one day and I'm asleep, I'm resting in the Holy Spirit. I'm resting in God. So I'm just saying, I'm going to say that to you. But seriously, man, when we get in a mess, when we don't know what to do, you have two options. You can run from God, and you can like run over here, and you can just keep digging and digging and digging and exhausting yourself and saying, "No, God, I got this. Like, I'm going to get myself out." Or you can run to God and say, "God, I don't know what to do. I'm in a mess, and I just need to rest in you." And he says, "Come on, I got you." Right? Like, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that you can run to and rest in and say, "God, I don't know the outcome, but I trust you." Rest is an essential part of our life, and I think that we need to look at the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2 in order to really understand this point this morning. Right? Adam was created on day 6. On day 7, what did God do? He rested. So I think it's important for us to see that on Adam's first day on earth, he did not work, but he rested. He was with the Lord. He spent time with God. He spent time in the garden. He was not working. I think it's important that we can learn to not rest from our work, but work from our rest. As a culture, we have that backwards. We think that, man, we got to keep grinding, keep staying ahead, stay hustling, keep grinding, keep doing whatever we got to do. And God says, "Man, if you just trust me, if you would just rest in me, if you would just come to me, I'll give you the rest." See, I love this account in Genesis because God did not need you in order to create the world. If he did, he would have created you on day 3 and asked your opinion, but he didn't. He created you on day 6 and said, "I want you to rest." I'd have some good opinions. God knows that. But he said, "I need you to rest." God didn't need you to create the world, and he doesn't need you to keep it going either. So how do we rest? Because it's great to talk about it, but how in the world do we do it in a culture, like I said, that's telling us stay ahead, keep grinding, keep doing all this stuff? What I'm learning is rest looks different for everybody. Right, as you're reading this story, you probably think of the same passage of scripture that I thought of in Matthew 4. Jesus was led up to the mountainside, right? And so as we're comparing these stories, Elijah was led to the mountainside, and what did he find? He found rest. He found the Lord's presence. When Jesus was led to the mountainside, what did he find? Temptation, right? The devil came to him and said, "If you just surrender to me, I'll give you all of this." And so what I'm learning in this season is your rest might not look like my rest, and my rest might not look like your rest, and your rest might not look like her rest, but we all have to take time and rest. It's vital. It's important. God knew that Elijah needed the rest to prepare for the journey. You need rest to prepare for whatever God is calling you to in your life. It's important. Recently, myself and Robert and Michelle attended a conference at Colonial Heights Baptist Church in Ridgeland called the Timothy Project. Great conference. We loved it. But I signed up for a breakout. They've got like main sessions and they got breakouts you can attend. And so I unintentionally signed up for or I intentionally signed up for it, not knowing what it was. And so I signed up for this breakout, and I walk in, and I'm like, okay, cool. The breakout was learning how to create rhythms of rest as a leader. And I was like, cool, man, I'm gonna go attend that and see how can I rest better. And what I found is this was a breakout on Sabbath and sabbaticals. And they were like, man, if you truly want to rest in the Lord, take a Sabbath. If you really want to spend time with the Lord, take a sabbatical. And you might not understand the difference. And so he gave me this acronym that I'm going to share with you this morning. I hope it helps you. It's called DDWWAA. DDWWAA. Disconnect daily. That's your quiet time. Man, spend some time with the Lord every day and allow him to speak to you. Can we be real? We struggle with that. 15 minutes is too much sometimes to spend with the Lord because we've got other things that we think we have to get done that are more important. I'll be the first to tell you I struggle with that. WW, withdraw weekly. Man, take some time to Sabbath. Like I said, it looks different to some people, right? Some people find rest in a deer stand. Some people find rest on a fishing boat. Some people find rest when they're gardening. Some people find rest having coffee with friends. Some people find rest by reading a book. I don't understand that, but go for it, right? Like, everybody finds rest differently, but it's important on your Sabbath to encounter the Lord. Disconnect from your phone. God, hey, this is me and you at some point today, and I'm just going to spend some time with you. Teach me what you want me to know. And then AA, abandon annually, talking about a sabbatical. Some of y'all may or may not know what that is as far as pastors and go, but I know in my old church, we had the month of June. Our pastor was on sabbatical. He was spending time with the Lord. And there's a difference between sabbatical and vacation, right? Because you go on a sabbatical to prepare for what the Lord has for you over the next year. Some of you, man, you need to take a sabbatical and go to the beach and see what the Lord has for you over the next year. Go to the mountains. Go in a place where you can experience the Lord. Again, everybody experiences rest differently, but God is a friend that you can rest in. Lastly, God is a friend that you can trust. We see this in verses 11 through 13, and it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains, tore them apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out. He stood at the mouth of the cave, and then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God was in the whisper. How many of us would have missed the whisper? Because see, Elijah, he was in a place, he was in a heart posture where he said, where the Lord said, I'm about to pass by, look for me. And if Elijah wasn't in tune with the Spirit, he would have got caught up in the wind or in the earthquake or in the fire. And he would have missed the whisper. How many of us would have got so caught up in these things that would have that happened in this passage that we would have missed what God really was in? Elijah hears this, and he is overwhelmed that the Lord has just spoken to him. But again, he's in a heart posture where he can hear the Lord. So I think for us today, it's important to say, don't get so caught up in the mess. Don't get so caught up in the things that are going on in your life that are going on around you that you forget to run to the Lord and rest in him, because this is what's important. When you rest in him, trust is cultivated. When you run from him and say, hey, God, I got this, you're not trusting God. You're not learning to trust God. And so it builds on each other. In a mess, run to God so that you can develop a trust for God. So my question this morning to you is, do you trust God? Recently, I read a book, and it's called Disobedient God. I was listening to a podcast, and one of these pastors was talking about it, and the guy who wrote the book, his name is Albert Tate. He's from Pearl, Mississippi. Y'all might know him, you might not. It's not important. But he wrote this book called Disobedient God. And the title really got me, because I'm like, disobedient God? What? Like, God's not disobedient. And so it piqued my interest, so I read it. And the subtitle is Learning to Trust a God Who Goes Off Script. And so the whole premise of the book is this. We have a script, and God has a script for our lives. And oftentimes, we say, God, here's what I want you to do. Bless it. This is my plan for my life, God, and I'm telling you, and I want you to bless this. But God has a plan, and he says, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you. Do you trust me? Right? Because God can't be disobedient. We're the ones that are disobedient. But it's a mindset that we can get in that God somehow becomes disobedient to us. Like God is supposed to serve us. And so he breaks this down into seven chapters. And the first three chapters are talking about what happens when we feel like God should be obedient to us and he's not being obedient to us, when God is disobedient to us, okay? So the first thing that he talks about is we replace God. When we're not getting what we want from God, we're quick to switch up and go get another God, right? He references the golden calf in the book, talking about how God just delivered them out of Egypt, and Moses goes up to the mountain, and God is not working on their timeline, so they build a calf out of the gold that they had brought from Egypt, and they start worshiping this calf like it's a god. We replace God. What are some things in your life that you replace God with? Second thing, we run from him. We just talked about how you can run to him or run away from him. Third thing, man, we perform for him. And he talks about how in this moment when we feel like we're not getting what we think that God is supposed to be blessing us with, we work harder. We say, hey, God, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at everything that I'm doing in your name. And God's like, man, that is great, but that is not what I have for you. If you knew everything that I had for you, man, you'd run to me, not run from me. You would perform in my name, not perform for me. And so then he switches the mindset, and this is how he ends the book in these three chapters. And this is the approach that he's encouraging the reader to take to see that God is not disobedient. God has a plan, and it is worth trusting and following. Confess to him. And I want to be clear, confession is not, God, I've sinned and I've messed up and God, forgive me. Like, that's part of it. But confession can also look like this. God, I don't like this situation. This is awful and I'm not happy about it, but you know what? I'm gonna trust you. God, I don't know what to do, but I trust you. Second thing is rest in him. We just talked about this for 5-10 minutes about the concept of resting in Jesus. And lastly, reach for him. So often we're so quick to reach for other things, reach for the replacements, and God is saying, reach for me. Reach for the relationship with me. I'm a friend that you can trust. But trust is built over time. Again, in your mess, you can run from God or rest in God, but when you rest in God, trust is built. God is a friend that wants to meet you in your mess. God is a friend you can rest in, and God is a friend that you can trust. And so here's
the response today. Here's the invitation today. Man, if you struggle with trusting God, you're like, man, I've got this situation going on. I just don't know what to do. We're going to have some counselors down front, and we would love to talk to you about whatever it is that you have going on in your life and how we can pray for you. Maybe today you're sitting here and you're struggling with the concept of rest, and this might be the first time that you've sat down this week. I know a lot of VBS workers can say amen. Like, this might be the first time in a long time that you've had the opportunity to really rest in God. And so my encouragement this morning is, man, when we have this invitation, if this is you, sit where you are. Open your hands and allow God to speak to you. And just hear from the Lord. Rest in Him this morning. And lastly, you might be the person that's struggling with something this morning, and you're wondering, how do you trust God? How do I have a relationship with God? How do I do that? We'll have some counselors down front, and they'll be ready to receive you. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you. I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the people in this room. God, I just pray that as we have this response time, that God, you will just speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you will just lead us to respond the way that you would have us respond. God, we love you. We trust you. Thank you for being a friend to us. So in your name we pray. Amen.